We are going to memorize together the memory verse of the week. Why do we memorize the verse? One of you came up to me this morning and said, Pastor V, with this great joy in her eyes, I memorized the verse today, this week. She was overfilled with joy because she attempted to memorize the verse. Not only that, she was filled with joy because she actually memorized it. But most of all, I want to say, she was filled with joy because God is worthy, so that because we get to memorize his word. God says, Victor, hide my word in your heart. He said that to you and to me. So one way of doing that is by memorizing the verse. So here is Psalm 32, verse 1. Let's have it up on the screen, and let's say it together with the reference first. Psalm 32, verse 1. Blessed is the one. Very good. Blessed is the one whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Psalm 32, verse 1. We receive the teaching, the truth, grace of that verse last Sunday. And today, this week, a new memory verse is from 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 9. Let's start with the reference. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. I can't speak today. That's not good for the preacher. Children, have a wonderful time. May you grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ as well. Everyone, I have been learning so much in this current series called A Call to Worship. We've been learning what it means for us to worship God. And how do we do that, not only individually, but also collectively as well. And today we're going to focus on worship leads to offering of ourselves, offering of our resources, offering of our gifts. Have you noticed in the last few weeks, as we said in the book of Psalms, every message came from the book of Psalms, and we said worship leads to praise. Worship leads to confession. Now, it so happens when we gather together here every Sunday, there is the order of worship. We start with the call to worship. That was the first message in the series. It's a call to worship God. We are not here on our own. We weren't seeking God. God was seeking you and me, and God says, I am calling you. I'm calling each and every one of you to worship me. Hence, we start with the call to worship. Taylor and I, we read together with you a call to worship. And then the next message was what? Songs of praise. We worship leads to when you recognize who God is and how beautifully he is, that leads us to praise. So we sang songs of praise. And then last Sunday, we learned that worship leads to confession. In the time of prayer, we prayed ACTS, it's an acronym, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. And worship also leads to hearing the word of God, and that will be next Sunday. And today, worship leads to offering. And the last message in the series will be, worship leads to benediction. Stay tuned, okay? Without further ado, I want to get to Psalm 49. Psalm 49, the book of Psalm, consists of following things. Psalms are poems, songs, songs of praise, songs of thanksgiving, and songs of lament. It is filled. One-third of the book of Psalms is about lamenting. We are in sorrow. We are confused. We are in distress and we lament to God. So when you lament to God, oh God, how long? It's not a complaint, but it's an act of worship. But today, Psalm 49 is uniquely different. It's not a song. Well, it is a song, but it is a different genre, different literature. It's wisdom saying. Psalm 49 is something more like akin to the book of Proverbs, bunch of wisdom sayings. So let's receive it. Psalm 49, hear the word of the Lord. For the director of music, you see at the very top, in your Bible, you will see the same title. For the director of music of the songs of Korah, a psalm. This was written by sons of Korah. Korah, I don't have time to get into that. Sons of Korah, they are from the tribe of Levites, the tribe of Israel who was assigned to carry out the temple duties, like singing in the temple, directing music, kind of like the music director, Lena. So this was written by the music director, a Levite, and it was wise wisdom saying, and guess what? This was sung in the congregation. So this psalm is not so much a prayer, but it's a didactical teaching tool, and it was sung. Imagine this. Sermon is being sung to you. And you go, please don't do that. Don't sing, Pastor V. So I am going to just say it. Peoples, listen, all who live in this world. I need you to sense the urgency that the psalmist is saying. Listen, hear. Both low and high, rich and poor alike, everyone. My mouth will speak words of wisdom. The meditation of my heart will give you understanding. I will turn my ear to a proverb. With the harp, I will expound my riddle. Riddle, not in terms of, well, I bet you can't figure this riddle out. That's not it. Riddle in that, it's so plain, it's so wise, but when people hear it, when people receive it, not everyone gets it. And that's why it's a riddle. It's plain, it's wise, it's true, but not everyone understands. Verse 5. Why should I fear when evil days come? When wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast of their great riches. This psalm, this wise saying, is about people who put their, who boast in their money. Verse 7. No one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough, so that they should live on forever and not see decay. For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish, leaving their wealth to others. Their tombs will remain, their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. Verse 12 is a key verse in this psalm. It is repeated verbatim in verse 20. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers, who approve their sayings. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd, but the upright will prevail over them in the morning. Their forms will decay in the grave, far from their princely mansions. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. Do not be overawed when others grow rich, when the splendor of their houses increases, for they will take nothing with them when they die. Their splendor will not descend with them. Though while they live, they count themselves blessed, and people praise you when you prosper. they will join those who have gone before them, who will never again see the light of life. I invite you to read the last verse with me. People who have wealth but lack understanding are like the beasts that perish. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I invite you to utilize the sermon notes by using the QR code in front of you. I always want to start with the theme, and because my goal, I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, when I bring this word, this message to the people at Mosaic House Church and to all the guests, may it be clear. The clarity rules. The theme and the goal, therefore, is this. True worship of God, for God, to God, leads you to boasting in God, not boasting in money. When you worship God for who He is, when you recognize His beauty and the glory, and when you see worth in Him, in His character, and what He has done, in His actions, it will lead you to boasting in God, boasting about God, boast God, period. Not boasting in money. The key word today is boast. I want to unfold this theme in 4 points. The first point, worship shapes what you boast in. Whatever you worship, you boast in that object. Whatever, whomever you worship, that's what you boast in. That's whom you boast in. Let me put it better. Whatever you boast about, whatever you boast in, that's what you worship. So think about that. What do I boast? Now, oftentimes in the English word, the word boast, usually used in a negative connotation. Don't boast. Don't be prideful, right? But the Bible redeems that. There is a godly way, godly form, godly expression of boasting, to boast the way we should, as God instructs us. Look at verse 5. The psalmist asks, why should I fear when evil days come, when wicked deceivers surround me, those who trust in their wealth and boast, say boast, boast of their great riches. Isn't that interesting? Those who trust, verse 5 says, why should I fear when evil days come? What are evil days? What's he talking about? He's talking about when people, you see people who are growing in their prosperity, those who are rich, those who are gaining wealth, and they boast about their wealth. And the psalmist says, those are the evil days. They are evil days, and you will fear. Not as in, oh my goodness, that is really scary. No, 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 no. You will fear in that you will be tempted. You will be led to these thoughts and questions. Oh God, how come these people who don't worship you, who don't love you, who don't obey you, how come they are succeeding? How come they are growing in their wealth and their prosperity? And you will be tempted. What good are you? What good is it for me to worship God when I don't prosper, when I don't become rich, when I don't become wealthy? You should fear, because those are temptations. The word, keyword is boast. Okay? In Hebrew, here's a Hebrew word, very important. As I learned about this theology, the doctrine of praise and boast, my understanding of God just expanded tremendously. The Hebrew word to boast is hallel. Say hallel. One more time. Hallel. It means to praise, to glory, to shine, or to trust, or to rave. And my favorite rendition of the definition is to boast. Hallel means to boast in something or someone. Did you recognize the familiarity of that sound, hallel? It's the same word, hallelujah. Aha. Hallelujah means you boast in the Lord. That's it. We often think of hallelujah as in praise God, right? Yes? But think about in this definition. Hallelujah means you boast in God. You all boast in God. You rave about God. It's stronger action, stronger verb than to trust. Let me give you another definition. Jeremiah chapter 9, one of our memory verses. Let him who boasts, boast in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who practices steadfast love, justice, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, declares the Lord. Let him who boasts. In fact, everyone boasts in something. And God is saying, you boast in me. You boast in this, that you know me and that you understand me, that I practice what? Steadfast love. Unconditional love. I will never, never leave you. Once I commit myself to you, I will not let you go. Even though you let me go, I won't let you go. And I'll find you and I'll bring you back. God practices justice. God gives out righteousness. So when you boast, God's saying, boast in me. Have confidence in me. Put your trust in me. No matter how far you fall, Victor, you boast in my grace. No matter how far you go, you boast in my faithfulness. Let me give you the following definition, therefore. Therefore, worship means you have confidence in God, you boast about God, and you find God worthy in such a way that it shapes, your worship shapes your response to God. I can't come up with a better definition. This is so theologically, biblically comprehensive and accurate. Worship means more than just singing. Oftentimes, when I hear people talk nowadays, what they mean by worship, oh, let us worship God, they mean let's sing. It is an expression of worship. Singing is an expression, but it is far more than just singing, because worship means you have confidence in God and you boast about God and you find God worthy in such a way that your worship of God shapes how you respond to Him. Let me give you one example, and then we move on to a second point. By the way, Nathan, could you put up the phone number to which people may submit questions? You might have questions today. Please submit the questions to that number, and I ask that you wait until the sermon is completed, then submit your questions. Not halfway, because you go, oh, I got questions about this. Well, I'm going to deal with that in number three. So wait. Example. Everyone boasts in something. Let's talk about salvation. When it comes to salvation, you have two objects of boast. You can either do it yourself. I obey God. I give to God. I read the Bible. I pray and I do all that Christian disciplines. And therefore, you have earned it. You've worked for it. You have gained it. You obtained it. If that is the case, you boast in you. You boast in your performance. And that is the problem with the Pharisees. They believed they earned it because they were so godly. They were good people. We're not talking about evil people. We're talking about religious, conservative people who believe what the Bible says, and they observed it, followed it, obeyed it, and therefore they deserve it. We have people like that today. Many people in the church, they are faithful to God, therefore they feel confident in their works of righteousness. So you boast in you. Or, oh God, I've tried, I've attempted, but I fall short of your glory. I don't do enough of my own righteousness. I believe that I should, but I fail. I fall short. And therefore, I'm going to boast in the person and the works of Jesus Christ. So I'm going to boast in Jesus. You only have two options, either in yourself or in the person and the works of Christ. So you boast. And whatever you boast, you worship. So, question. This psalm is a teaching against those people who boast in their wealth and money. And the psalm is saying, boast in God. Boast about God. Boast God, period. Not in your wealth or riches. Here's the question. In whom do you boast? In which of these two do you boast? Don't answer that. We'll come back to that. Number two. The second point is this. Boasting in money is foolish. The book of Psalms, particularly the book of Proverbs, the wisdom literature in the Bible, there are two types of people. The foolish and the wise. The righteous and, the wicked and the righteous. The fools and the wicked, they are synonymous. Wise and the righteous, they are synonymous. And the psalmist in 49 is teaching all of us, saying, boasting in money, trusting money, having confidence in money is foolish. Look at verse 12. People, despite their wealth, do not endure. They are like the beasts that perish. What's the difference between people and beasts? First, let's answer the question, what are the similarities? Book of Psalms, Book of Proverbs, they all say the same thing. Both people and animals, they die. The difference is, unlike the beasts, people who live, and when they die, they don't only think about this world. They think about the one to come. And the animals don't think about the life thereafter. And this is why those who put their trust in money or boast in money is like they share the same destination as the beast. Look at verse 13. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves and of their followers who approve their sayings. They are like sheep and are destined to die. Death will be their shepherd. How poetic is that? Listen to this. When you boast in your wealth or your money, you are like sheep. And when the Bible says you're like sheep, the Bible is not complimenting you. The Bible is not saying you are innocent. The Bible is saying when you are like sheep, you are foolish. You are stupid. You don't have understanding. Sally is nodding her head because she owns sheep. She knows how foolish they are. Yes. Okay. Now, look at this. They verse 13, please. Let's go back to verse 13. This is the fate of those who trust in themselves. See, though when you boast in money, you're not really boasting in your riches. You are boasting in yourselves. Because you have accrued it, you have gained it, and you are deserving of that security. And the Bible is saying that is foolish. Verse 10. For all can see that the wise die, that the foolish and the senseless also perish. They also die, leaving their wealth to others. It is foolish. What's the common thing? Both wise and the fools, they die. Both the wicked and the righteous, they both die. When we die, that is the end of it, leaving all your wealth to others to enjoy. The wealthiest man who ever lived, according to one source, is Rockefeller. Okay? Not, what's his name? Elon Musk. He is wealthy. Isn't he the wealthiest man today? Something like that. Okay? Maybe number two, number three. But the experts say, given the times and the inflation, Rockefeller would be richer, wealthier than anyone ever. At his funeral, people are saying, hey, how much did he leave? How many billions? You know how much he left? I don't know. You know how much he left? I don't know. And then the third person says, yeah, he left all of it. When we die, you leave everything that you own. Meaning you can't take it with you. And so it is foolish to think or to assume or act as if you put your boast in your money because you can take it with you. No, you can't. It is futile. Verse 11, the tombs will remain their houses forever, their dwellings for endless generations, though they had named lands after themselves. You've seen names, you've seen buildings named after rich people, you've seen hospitals, schools named after rich, wealthy people, but guess what? They all remain, and the people are no longer here. It is foolish to boast in money. Question. I would like you to consider asking this question to your neighbor. Do you boast in God? Or do you boast in money? But more importantly, how would you know the difference? Turn to your neighbor. Engage. Okay, switch. The most important question is, how would you know? How would you know? Okay, let's resume. Please do not raise your hand. Please, okay, do not raise your hand. How many of you said, oh, I boast in God, of course. Don't raise your hand. Okay. How many of you said, oh, I'm just being transparent. It's a safe place here, ain't it? I boast in money. How many of you actually made that confession? Okay. I'm guessing no one. Nope, not you. I bet you no one said, oh, I boast in money. Yeah, that's me. I should confess. No one did. Okay? Now, the question is, how would you know? I'll get to that, the next point. But let's look at verse 1, okay? But that was a trick question in that. Look at verse 1. Hear this? Only the rich people? No. All you peoples, plural. Listen, pay attention. Only the rich people? No. All who live in this world. That's me. Both low and high. Both educated, uneducated. both rich and poor alike. You catch that? Boasting in money deceives all of us. We don't think we do, and yet we just might. And we do. Let's look at verse 18. This is more profound, I think. Okay? Though while they, who's they? Those who boast in their money, right? Okay? Notice the change in personal pronoun. Though while they, those who boast in money, live, they count themselves blessed. Oh, look at me. Look at me. I'm so blessed. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And people praise you. Not those who boast in money. The psalm is saying, and people who praise you. That's me and you. That's you and me. When you prosper. So all this time, all we are thinking, oh, this psalm does not pertain to me. Whew. I'm not one of those who boast in money. Whew. And here is the gotcha. He's talking about me. He's talking about you. Some commentaries say, Lord Jesus, teaching on Luke in Luke chapter 12, he is expounding on Psalm 49. Okay? In Luke 12, the Lord Christ says this, watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possession. Watch out. This is the only sin, sin of greed, sin of boasting in money. It deceives you. It closes your eyes. It covers your conscience. You don't think this applies to you. And that's why Jesus says, watch out. This is the only sin against which Christ says, watch out. And that's because you don't know if you're committing the sin. Let me illustrate. I've been a pastor since 1998, okay? And in my career, many people have come to my office for counseling, okay? Some have said, Pastor, I've sinned against God. I am dealing with pornography. I need help. I need to confess. I need to be made right, okay? Someone said, Pastor, I need your wisdom. I need your counseling because we are in debt. We're not handling us money well. We need help. No one has ever said, please pray for me because I'm greedy. Please set me straight because I'm boasting in money and not boasting God. No one has ever said that. You know why? No one thinks he does. No one thinks she does. Because it's all relative. Case in point, please don't raise your hand. Okay? Raise your hand only in your mind if you think you are rich. You know why you don't raise your hand? Because you don't think you're rich. You know why you don't think you're rich? Because there are so many more richer people out there. You don't think you're rich. You think, oh, you know what? I could have some more, actually. I could get some more. I could make some more. I would like to have some more. We don't think this affects our sin. Okay? Look at verse 1 Timothy 6. For the love of money, one of the most misquoted Bible verses ever. People think money is the root of all evil, right? No. Money is a good thing. Money is a gift from God. It's the love of money, which is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, Tim's talking to the church now, people in the church, people of faith, some people, eager for money because they loved money, have wandered from faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. It's not the money that is the root of all evil. It's the love of money. You boast in money because you think money will give you security. You do. You think money will give you confidence. You do. Let's be honest. I'll be the first one to admit it. You look at your bank account. You look at your portfolio. Look at your investment. And if it's doing well, even I feel, whew, that feels kind of nice. That feels comfortable. It gives me that sense of security. Let's be honest. And God is constantly reminding me and you, no, Victor, your security does not depend on how much you have. Your security lies with me, son. Me. I am your security. I am your confidence. I am your boast. Lastly, let's just make one point. One point. In Joshua chapter 24, here's the context. God led the people out of Egypt from the land of slavery. And for the next 40 years, he brought them into the promised land under Moses' leadership. Moses is dead. His protege, Joshua, is leading the people. And they are in the promised land. They left Egypt. They left Canaan. And they are in the promised land. And God is calling them to recommit themselves. And you know the verse in chapter 24? Joshua says, choose on this day whom you will serve, either the Lord or the God of the Amorites. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. The people of Israel, they both boasted in God and other idols. Because the other idols, they were taught, they were led to believe, they bring wealth. The God of thunder, the God of rain, the God of fertility, they give you wealth and riches and money. So people of God boasted in God, the Lord, and the idols simultaneously. And that is you and me. We are boasting in both God. Thank you for the salvation. And at the same time, the same mouth, in the same breath, without admitting so, we boast in money. Third point, let's get to the grace part. So, how does the person and the works of Jesus Christ change all this? Number three, the grace of Christ reshapes your boast. Remember, whatever you worship, you boast. And the worship is responding, shaping how you respond to the worth and the beauty of the object. Grace of Christ reshapes, refashions, it transforms your boasting. Verse 7. And no one can redeem the life of another or give to God a ransom for them. The ransom for a life is costly. No payment is ever enough so that they should live on forever and not see decay. But God will redeem me from the realm of the dead. He will surely take me to himself. All along, the psalmist has been saying, everyone dies. The rich die, the poor die, the wise die, the fools die. They all die. And the question is, who will bring me from the realm of the dead? And the answer is, someone has to ransom me. Someone has to purchase me. Someone has to pay for my payment. And the psalmist in the same breath says, the cost is too much. No one can pay for your ransom. And here's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He comes down. He offers himself as your ransom. He pays your payment. He purchases you. He buys you back with the blood of his life. He dies so that in order that you and I may live, it's his death that gives us life and resurrection. It's his death that pays the penalty of our sins. It's his death and his resurrection that pays the ransom. It's pointing to Jesus Christ. Christ, his grace, reshapes what you boast. Now you boast about Christ, not about money. You put your confidence in him. Look at 2 Corinthians verse 8, our memory verse. Let's read it together. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. How rich was Christ? He owned all of it. He is the king of the universe. Every star is owned by him. Every breath in your lung is given to you by him. He owns it all. And yet, he became poor. He became a human being. And not only any human being, the Bible says he was very, very, very poor. When he died, he only owned one thing. Not a house, not a land, just a robe. That's all he owned. He lived a life of poverty. And why did he become poor? Why did he choose to live a life of poverty? So that through his poverty, you may become rich. You know how rich you are? Richer than you think. Whatever Christ owned, the king of the universe, has been given to you and me. We, along with him, we own his inheritance. This is the grace of Jesus Christ. And that's why he is worthy of your worship. And this is why we boast in Christ, our true identity and security. The theme and goal, true worship leads you to boasting in God, not boasting in money. So, how do you know? How do you know if you are boasting in God or money? Christ answers it this way, Matthew chapter 6. You cannot serve both God and money. You will either hate the one and love the other. You cannot love both God and money. And how do you know if I'm loving God? And Christ answers this, by my giving. The only way you know how to tell if you're boasting in God or boasting in your money is when you give. That's the only evidence. Number four, last point. You boast in God by giving. By giving. Okay? Would you repeat after me? You give. You save. You live. One more time. You give. You save. You live. Lewis, Taylor, I need your help. Would you please come? This is the way of the wise. This is the way, the principle of the righteous. Thank you very much. Okay. The problem that we have is this. Some of you say, yes, I want to give to the Lord, but not enough. I want to give to the Lord, but only after I pay the bills. Okay? So there isn't enough. Okay? Now, look at this. Let's say the golf balls represent giving to the Lord. And God says, first fruits and tithe, give him the first and the best. Let's say the rocks represent saving. You need to save. I was counseling somebody, and person said, yeah, we got into debt because our car broke down. It was an emergency, so we had to use the credit card, and now we're in debt. And I said, dear sir, that's not an emergency. Your car will break down. It always does. It's not an emergency. You should save money for it. Oh, we got into debt because we got to put new shingles on the house. That's not an emergency. That's expensive. But you should have seen it coming. Shingles don't last forever. You should save. Okay? Save. Now, the sand represents live. Paying the bills. Buying the groceries. And nowadays you go, whoa, foods are expensive. Okay? It's like traveling. Your hobbies. You live. Right? Now, here's the problem. And most of you, here's how you roll. You first live. Pay the groceries. Pay for the gas. Mortgage. Rent. And vacations. And you gotta eat out too. And then you save. You save for the shingles. You save for the car repairs. You save for your retirement. And many of you, maybe some of you, don't even have much to save. And then you say, whoa, now let's give to the Lord. Let's give our first and the best and the tithe and whoops. What the Lord is saying is this. You give to the Lord first and the best. Your tithe. Oh. Wait, close your eyes. Did you enjoy that? You like it when I make bloopers? So you give to the Lord your first, your best, your tithe, your offerings, because you boast in God. Every time you do this, you are boasting in God. And then you save. You save for your shingles. You save for your car. You save for your retirement, for medical bills. And then you live. Buy the groceries. Take the kids out to Disneyland if you can. I wouldn't. It's not worth it. Been there, done that. And then you go golfing if you like. You do all your hobbies and all the things. And there, when you boast in God, it works. It's not beyond your grasp. You just have not prioritized what's important, which is, it's not about the money. It's boasting in God. So let's move quickly. A, you give your first fruits and tithe. Proverbs, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. You give him your first and the best, not your leftovers. And you don't have leftovers. Malachi 3, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. B, some of you are saying, save. Now, when you save, isn't it kind of like boasting in yourself? Some of you are thinking, I knew you. Yeah, saving, that's like trusting in you. No, if you do it God's way. Listen, Proverbs 21. You save according to God's wisdom. Proverbs 21, the wise store up choice food and olive oil, but fools gulp theirs down. God wants you to save. That's wisdom. But you save because you believe this is God's way of providing for you, and this is how you boast in God. You give and you save. Let's read one more verse. Proverbs 6, go to the ant, you sluggard. Consider its ways and be wise. It stores its provisions in summer and gathers its food at harvest. Saving, done godly, is God's wisdom. Lastly, C. You live enjoying all of God's provisions. 1 Timothy. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Our enjoyment, that is God's way of providing for us and giving us pleasure and happiness as well. Let's land the plane. Applications. Given what you heard, you've seen, how is the Holy Spirit comforting you? Is the Holy Spirit convicting you? If so, how? And how is the Holy Spirit challenging you? Would you close your eyes? Lord Christ, we want to focus on you. We want to focus on your grace. You became poor, very poor. And through your poverty, you made us rich. We are so, so much richer than we think we are. Help us focus on you by boasting in you, boasting in your grace and your provisions. And Holy Spirit, reveal to us how we may discern that. We give you all the glory. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.